just sense your relationship to the space around you, your sense of tallness, your sense of shortness, the built-in sense at this point in time of how free you would be to turn to your right, how free you would be to turn to the left, which direction would be easier for you to turn. And just sense what direction is most available, immediately available within you. And when you make these movements of exploration, how far do you go? Where do you go to? How far do you make the movement before you have any sense of strain, any sense of effort? Now, the funny thing about these movements in this exploration, when it comes to sensing the amount of effort we make, is that generally, trained as athletes, we don't stop at the point that we sense effort. We usually go further as if that will be of some value to us. You'll be challenged in this lesson because there will be opportunities for you to make efforts that you may or may not want to make. You'll see as you go along. Okay, so which is easier? Is it easier to look up or to look down? And when you look up, sense where it is that you look up from. Is it from your neck? Do you include your back in some way as part of the movement of looking up? Is there some way you change your position on your feet as you look up? Okay. So these are basic movements. You've made a movement to your right, to your left. You've looked up, you've looked down. How about side bending? What if you were to bend to one side? Which side would be easier to bend to? Which side is more clear, more available? Is there a difference to one side and the other as to how far it is that your hands drop as to slide down your legs? So you notice what this experience is. All right. Come and lie on the floor. Give yourself plenty of room. You'll need to have room above you and below you. So your legs can be... That's good enough. Great. All right. And please interlace your fingers and join them above your head on the floor. Interlace your fingers and join your fingers so that they're resting on the floor above your head. And will you please bring the soles of your feet together so that the soles of your feet are resting on the floor. What did you do to your knee? That's a nasty bruise.
Soccer.
Oh, nothing then.
Do you want to think of palms or hands down?
No, I want just your fingers interlaced and so that your fingers, the palms of your hand are more or less pointed towards the top of your head. And please make a movement to lift your hands away from the floor a few times. So you bring them forward a few times.
Up or forward?
Forward. Up would be what direction? It depends on whether you're relating to the ceiling or relating to the length of your spine, to yourself. So in these lessons, and from an anatomical point of view, if I was to say to move your hands up, it would mean to move your hands away from your head. Yeah. But this is a movement to bring your hands forward. And continue to bring your hands forward, noticing any change in pressure that you have. And where is it that you make the change in pressure? Where do you press into the floor in order to bring your hands up, to bring your hands forward? And there are lots of forward. That means so that's it. That's forward.
Okay.
As if to bring them in front of you.
Okay.
That's right. Forward. Yes. Make the movement a number of times. Listening. Listening to the strategy. What strategy do you use in order to bring your hands forward? So it's a lot of weight. The weight of your arms with your hands coupled like that, it's a lot of weight. So either you can make this movement so that more or less this movement takes place in the shoulder joint itself, or you can take the same amount of weight and find some way to press an equal weight into the floor. Where would you press the equal weight into the floor? So you can study this. You can take a moment and study this. What happens as your hands come further and further forward? Is there any change in pressure in your back? Does the pressure move from your shoulders down towards your waist? Or does the pressure move from your waist up to your shoulders as you lift? In what direction does the pressure change as you lift your arms? Leave it in rest for a moment. At any point in time in this lesson, you're more than welcome to rest. So rest. And come back and make the movement again. Notice as you press against the floor as to whether you press more on the right side of your back or the left. Feet, soles of your feet together as you bring your hands forward, which means so that they come so that you could look at your hands. That's what forward would be, to the front of yourself. So you bring them from above yourself to forward in front of yourself. On which side do you have more pressure in your back? Okay. Now, as you're making this movement, please notice, at what point in time in the movement are you inhaling? Or do you have a tendency to inhale? And at what point in time do you have a tendency to exhale? Is there a one-to-one relationship? Perhaps as you bring your hands forward, are you either inhaling or exhaling? As you lower your hands toward the floor, is there an exhalation or an inhalation? Or is there some kind of direct relationship between the movement of your arms and your breath? So this gives you a chance to study, what's the relationship and how you make this movement? Is your breath free from this movement? In other words, is your breath coming and going freely, or is it directly related to the movement that you're making? Continue the movement for a few times, but change the way the orientation, the relationship you have with your breath to the movement. So perhaps if you were lifting and inhaling, perhaps now you lift and exhale. And find out how that changes the movement. In what way does that change the movement in your own experience? No, I'm saying whatever you were doing, do the opposite. In other words, movement that's done well, we have the capacity to have our breath free from the activity, if it's going to be reversible movement. All right, leave it, please. Rest again for a moment. All right, please come again. Interlace your fingers and bring the soles of your feet together above your head. Only this time when you interlace your fingers, bring your fingers in front of you, your hands in front of you, and look at the interlacing of your fingers. Which of your index fingers is on top? Which thumb is on the outside? Which little finger is on the outside? Please interlace your fingers so that the other index finger is on top. So you just move your fingers down into a different relationship so that you can look and sense what it's like to actually have this... Left-handed? No, not necessarily to be left-handed, because a right-handed and a left-handed people don't necessarily interlace their fingers the same. And by the way, do that with your eyes closed a couple times. Go back and forth between the habitual and the non-habitual and find out if you can find the spacing with your eyes closed. And again, what's the strategy that you use? Take your hands apart, take them as a ways apart, and bring them towards each other and find out if you can find out where they are in space. And notice which hand receives the movement and which hand is active in finding the spaces. Are they both equally active, or is one hand dominant in the movement toward the open spaces, the changing space? Is one hand subtly waiting for the other hand to come in? If there is, change it. Change the dominance. Have the hand that's previously been waiting, have it be the one that explores the space and seeks the open space, the changing space. So you just notice. Because these are the habits, these are the subtle habits and the ways that our activities are wired in. Please interlace your fingers now in the non-dominant way. Or rest your hands on the floor overhead. Lift your hands away from the floor a few times. And notice if there's any sense, sensorial difference in what it is for you to lift your hands up from the floor while you maintain the non-habitual interlacing of your fingers. Notice if there's any subtlety in how it is that your hands come through the air, the activity within your shoulders. If the changing of the interlacing in some ways alters the pressure that you make on your back. Interlace your fingers. Just keep them in the non-habitual way. And if you would now, please, bring your fingers and your hands to come back to rest on the floor. And please begin to, with your hands overhead. And slowly now, begin to glide with your hands on the floor. Begin to glide your hands a little to the right a few times. Glide them to the right. Now, your fingers interlaced. Your fingers interlaced in the non-habitual way. Glide your hands to the right. Glide your hands on the floor to the right. A few times, watching the change in pressure in the way that your back is resting on the floor. Take them a little bit to the left a few times. Find out if there's a change in the pressure and how your back rests on the floor. And after a few moments, take your hands a little to the right and a little to the left, and you watch. Watch whether or not this movement is done. In the arm, in the joints of the shoulder, this movement is done by changing the position of your weight and your ribs on the floor. Just watch. Watch what you do. All right. Leave it, please. Rest a few moments. Rest a few moments. Interlace your fingers over your head. Bring the soles of your feet together. And begin to lift your feet from the floor. Lift your feet from the floor for a few moments. Soles of your feet together. And you lift the soles of your feet a few times. And again, most importantly is not the lifting, not how far you lift, but how you watch and observe the change in pressure. Where do you find the weight moving into the floor that's equal to the weight that you're lifting? It would be very difficult to lift your legs if you didn't have some change in the way that you make pressure on the floor. Could you just do this just in the hip joints without changing the pressure of your ribs on the floor? Is there a change in the pressure of your low back on the floor? Is it as comfortable for you to lower your legs to the floor, as easy to take your time and to lower your legs so that you could set them, slightly touch them to the floor? Or is there the sensation or is there the experience of dropping them to the floor? What part of your foot touches the floor first? Is it your heel or the metatarsal head near the little toe? All right, leave it. Leave it and rest. Leave it and rest. So many of Moshe's lessons came from his martial arts training. And while this doesn't look like it might be a martial arts technique, in fact, this is very, very similar to a particular martial arts technique in grappling. Interlace your fingers, please. Bring the soles of your feet together. Raise the soles of your feet a few times. Lift them from the floor. Raise and lower them. Leave your feet on the floor. By the way, where do you have the contact with your feet? Do you have the inner edge or do you have the outer toe actually touching? Where do you have the sole of your feet? Is it on the big toe that's touching? Is it the pressure evenly distributed across the sole of your foot? More pressure on the big toe? Slide your feet a little to the right and back, keeping the contact on the floor. And it's interesting now, with this much weight, there's no way in the world that you can do this just in the hip joints. If you're going to lift the whole of the weight of your legs and slide it to the floor. But it slides to the right, and to the best of your ability, slide it to the right without bringing your knees together. Without bringing your knees together. So you slide it to the right, and you pay close attention as you make the movement. Where do you find the equal movement relative to sliding your waist, your legs to the right? Now, you can slide your legs to the right, and you can play this. You can move this in various different ways. You can slide it by taking your waist to the left. Because you can't do this by taking something to the right. There has to be an equal weight opposite the direction you're going. It could be way down at your waist that you make this movement of sliding your legs to the right. You might be able to make it by making the movement in the middle of your ribs, by taking the middle of the ribs to the left, by taking a different point of contact and moving your legs to the left, to the right. You could move your ribs, your upper ribs, way up near your armpits to provide the basis by changing the position so that you can have different points of contact, different ways of counterbalancing and counterweighting the weight of your legs by where it is that you place the change. Okay, leave it, come back and rest. You just notice where it is that the tendency for you to make the movement comes from. Because you tend to make the movement in the way that's most available and easiest for you. Not necessarily in the way that your whole self is available for the activity. So a lot of what we study in these lessons is how to bring all of ourself into making the movement. And the lesson will continue to bring about that potential for you. Bring your arms overhead, fingers interlaced, the soles of your feet together. Please now, move your feet to the left for a few moments. Slide your feet on the floor to the left and observe, what strategy did you use? What was the first basic neurological pattern that you've discovered to make it happen? Did you do it by rolling your weight to the left? Did you do it by closing your legs? Or was there some equal and opposite weight, some way that you may have moved your waist the opposite direction or your ribs the opposite direction? Some way that you planted something into the ground with a weight that's even enough that your legs became light enough that you could move them. So this is how we make a study. We make a study of how it is that we continue to find better and better support through the whole of ourselves so that the movement becomes lighter, more and more easy. So each time you make the movement, find a different way of planting into the ground, planting with enough clarity, a weight equal to the weight that you're lifting so that you move from a different place each time. You find a different point of support, a different point of leaning against the ground. Where does your head go? Please glide your feet to the right and left. And you notice whether or not you're doing this in such a way that there's a kind of a momentum at throwing your feet right and left, or whether this movement is done by a clear way of placing an equal weight opposite to the direction that you're moving. Because if you can really make this movement, there's a planting. Something is planted, and then something is planted to the other side, and then something is planted, and once that planting takes place, then your feet become light enough that you can begin to move them. And you can change the point of contact, the point of planting yourself. The support, how you find the point of support in the ground, you can change it. And you rest when you need to rest. This lesson has some elements in it, so take your time. Rest when you need to. Leave it in rest. Again, place the soles of your feet together and interlace your fingers above your head. And once again now, please, lift your hands, bring your hands forward a few times, and notice if there's any difference in the quality of the movement of bringing your hands forward now. Find out whether or not there's any way different in the way that you recognize how it is to support the movement of your hands coming through the air, and whether or not you're finding a different way of supporting the weight of your arms. If in somehow the process of lifting your legs hasn't informed you in some way to make a way of making it so that your arms lift more easily, slide your hands to the right and left. Slide your hands to the right and left on the floor. And observe whether or not there's a difference now in how it is that you slide your hands. Do you use the same strategy that you used before for sliding your hands? You're sliding your hands right and left. And now you notice if in fact, there isn't some way. Yeah. Now slide your hands to the right as if you're going to touch your right elbow to your right knee. Slide your hands to the right as if you're going to touch your right elbow to the right knee. Your feet are going to stay still, your knees are going to stay still, but you're not limited in how it is that you're going to arrange or move your torso. So it could be that you just simply think of your hands going to the right, or it could be in such a way, in fact, we'll make it this way for a moment, make it so that you slide your hands and you slide your head to the right, as if to touch your right knee. Okay? Now you see, all of a sudden, when we mention your head and your hands, it brings up a different organization, it brings up a different orientation. Now, do with your head whatever it is that you'd like to do in such a way to support you bringing your right elbow towards your right knee. Because there are different ways that you could do this. You could roll your head to the right, hands staying more or less on the floor. You could roll your head to the right. Check and see. Notice which way it is that your head rolls. It could be possible. Find out. What would it be to make it so that your head rolls the opposite direction? Your head rolls as if to look to the left as you slide your hands to the right. Sit. And notice that this offers a potential in the spine that's different than rolling your head to the right. The movement of your head in this direction offers a different potential in the spine for lengthening than if you roll your head to the right. Play with the difference. One-time roll in such a way that your head rolls to the left, and one time with rolling your head to the right. It's a funny kind of a thing. Can you imagine your spine and the curvature that you make in your spine and where the different curves are taking place in your spine? Leave it in rest. Leave it. Stop at any time during the session as rest. Most of us aren't used to having our hip joints open in this way for long periods of time. Nor are we used to having the situation with our arms resting on the floor in this position for a long period of time, to actually have the shoulder joints to be in this position of your hands being overhead and your elbows resting toward the floor. The movement itself invites invites you to be able to have the mobility in your upper back and chest that your shoulders become more free in time. We'll see your comfort or discomfort at the end of the lesson. All right, please make the movement. Bring the soles of your feet together. And think now of bringing your left elbow. Make the movement of bringing your left elbow as if to touch your left knee. And again, in the very beginning of the movement, find out what's the first basic neurological pattern that spontaneously arises within you to bring your left elbow to your left knee. Where do you find the support? You see, maybe you learned something from making the movement to the other side. You might have learned something already. As you take your elbow to the knee, you might observe how it is that you're finding the support, the movement of your head either going in the direction that you're going or your head rolling the opposite direction. But you might also pay attention to where it is that you're finding the support in your ribs, the subtle places, the movements. For movement to be performed at its highest, there's some pressure, some way of finding support from the floor. Where is the support? And as you begin to come back to the beginning place, how do you change the pressure and the support against the floor? All right, leave it again, please, and rest. All right. Bend your knees, interlace your fingers. Think of now of bringing your right knee to the right as if to touch your right elbow. So you slide your feet toward the floor and you slide your feet in such a way that you continue to keep your knees apart. Your feet, the soles of your feet are together, but you think of bringing your right knee into contact with your right elbow. To whatever degree that you can make that movement at this point in time, you think of making the movement so that you think of bringing your right knee and your right elbow towards your right elbow a few times. It means in such a way that the soles of your feet continue to slide on the floor. And again, you look to see at the strategies that you make and the internal constraints that you keep. And you don't even know that they're constraints because you don't know how it is that you make the movement. What are the possibilities for the movement? So you're constrained to the compulsiveness of just being able to make it in the way that you can imagine yourself making it. Change the movement, please, and begin to slide your feet to the left as if to bring your left knee to touch your left elbow, which is, of course, not likely with your elbow staying where it is, but don't worry about that. Just towards your left elbow. Leave it. Rest for a moment. Take a moment and attend to how it is that you're lying on the floor. One of the things that Feldenkrais sought in his lessons was that people had the availability to move in any direction without hesitation or preparation. And that would mean the potential to roll to the right or to the left, as if to get up to stand, to roll over yourself onto your stomach. Just for a moment as you're lying there, listen to the availability for you to roll. Which way would be easier for you to roll? What would it take to make that movement to the other side? Please bring the soles of your feet together. Interlace the fingers of your hand above your head. Please now slide your hands to the right and left so that you're as if to bring your right elbow to touch your right knee and then your left elbow to touch your left knee. Make that movement a few times, as if to touch your right elbow to your right knee and your left elbow to your left knee. So you make this movement a few times. And you notice, again, paying close attention to the movement, where it is that something within you says, I should be able to go further, and you push a little bit. Or is there a way in which there's a real responsiveness to the floor and the real possibility of making the movement? So that the movement can be continuously, the quality of the movement is continuous from one point of the movement to the next, without effort, without force. There's a continuous quality. Please now leave your elbows and arms and your head still and make it so that you take your right elbow towards your right knee and then you slide your feet and bring your left elbow to your left knee to your left elbow. So it's your right knee to your right elbow, and then you slide your feet and bring your left knee to your left elbow.
What did you say about the head?
Head and hands are more or less still. This is the movement of the lower torso. So you can see that we're inviting the movement of the lower torso, which is heavier by far than the upper torso. And you can see, so the movement of the arms and the head is much lighter to move than the movement of the lower torso, which is much heavier to use. And you can see how much more you involve your ribs and your torso to support the weight of your lower torso to make the movement than your right upper torso. Please bring your right knee and your right elbow towards each other on the right side a few times. Your right knee and your right elbow towards each other on the right side a few times. Again, the idea of making this movement is still done in such a way that the knees are as wide as possible for you, so that it really promotes the true lateral movement. The real moving together in your ribs at this point in time. Stop and rest. I'm not. Nothing is stopping you from resting. Yeah, well, your ego is forcing you to do that, but then again, I'm just making suggestions. If they trigger something within you to do that, and the force with which you do that, I'm sorry, but I'm not really in a position to take responsibility for that stuff. Yeah. Well, you know, it's always funny because Moshe used to say to me, I take better care of you than you can take care of yourself. And at that point in time, I was in pretty good condition and I was a pretty good athlete and a black belt in Aikido. And I kept thinking, how in the world can this man take better care of me than I can take care of myself? This little 80-year-old Israeli man who was kind of short and kind of fat at that point in time. And it took me years to understand that the process of taking care of myself was meant for me to really, really be able to make these movements in a way where I didn't harm myself. That meant not having my ego forcing me into things that were, you know, into these positions. It's a question of finding what you can do in a way that the movement is generative and helpful for you rather than working against yourself. All right, interlace your fingers above your head. Bring the soles of your feet together and bring your left elbow and your left knee together and apart. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. You needn't go far. The thing is to disrupt the patterns of movement, the way that your brain has structured the activities for you in the past. To make it once or twice and stop, rest, go gently. Find the pattern that you use. Where do you find the support in the ground, and find a different support? Become curious about how you can organize the movement to make it easier and lighter. Yeah. All right, go right and left. Take your right knee and your right elbow together and apart, and your left knee and elbow together and apart. Your hands resting interlaced on above you on the floor, and you just slide them on the floor, and you slide your feet on the floor. All right, leave it, please. Rest again for a moment. Moshe only gives about 2 rests in this lesson, if you listen to him teaching the lesson. I'm being very generous with the rests.
Appreciate you doing that for
Bob. Yep. All right, please interlace your fingers above your head again. Bring the soles of your feet together. This time, will you please slide your feet to the right in such a way that your knees and your knee to the right, your knees to the right, in such a way that you can bring your right knee toward the floor. So that as you slide your feet to the right, you bring your knee to come to rest on the floor. And yet in such a way, in order to do that, in such a way that you continue to keep the distance between your knees. It's going to require a very different organization if you're going to slide your feet to the right and bring your knee to the floor. Slide your feet to the right and bring your knee to the floor. What will you have to do with your back if you're really going to make the movement? It will require a tremendous amount of extension in your back. Part of your lower back, something of real power in your back. So you're going to have to find a way to lean and then have real power in your back if you're going to make this movement to go to the right. Slide your knees and feet to the right in such a way that your feet slide, stay on the floor, and you keep the width between your knees without bringing your knees together. How will you do it? Where will you find the power? Where will you find the organization to make it so that you can bring please slide your knees and feet to the left a few times with the attention to bringing your left knee to come to rest on the floor and yet maintaining the width between your knees. Oh, it's a very interesting movement. Very interesting movement to make this movement so that you're all right, rest again for a moment. Each of these movements, as you can see, is now requiring different biases, different neurological biases of the musculature to become engaged, different neurological patterns to be explored and discovered, so that you move into shapes, activities of movement that are quite different than the habitual way that you, in your normal waking life, you use your ribs for any of the activities that you do, the way you use your torso, the way that you relate the different aspects of your torso and your limbs together in different orientations in space and on the floor. Please interlace your fingers, bring the soles of your feet together. Slide your feet to the right in such a way that you can place your right knee on the floor. So you slide your feet and keep your right knee on the floor. Begin to slide your right elbow as if to touch your right knee now. That's it. So what can you do? What can you do? With your right knee on the floor, now begin to make the movement of bringing your right knee, your right elbow toward your right knee, as if to touch your right knee. Leave your knee on the floor. That's it. Change it, please. Glide your feet to the left. Bring your left knee to the floor, toward the floor, and begin to slide your left elbow as if to bring your left elbow to touch your left knee. Now, please slide your right foot, your feet to the floor, feet on the floor, slide to the right in such a way that your right knee comes to the floor. You're not obligated to keep your feet on the floor in any way. You just bring your knee so that your right knee comes and touches the floor, but you keep the distance between your knees, and then you slide back. You're not obligated to keep your feet on the floor at some point in time in the movement, but you glide your knees to the right, your right knee as if to bring your right knee to the floor. That's it. And then when you come back, slide your foot back to the floor. So you go to the right, you bring your knee to the floor. No one stopped you from bringing your feet away from the floor before. You're sliding your feet to the right. You just were asked to keep the distance between your knees apart. And then bring your feet to the floor in the middle, and then slide your knees to the left, so bring your left knee to the floor. In such a way that the distance between your knees is maintained. That's it. And go right and left a few times. Only making contact with your feet in the middle of the movement where your feet come and where your... That's it. So you go to the left, keeping the soles of your feet together. You glide your feet back to the floor in the middle. You place your knees on the... your left knee on the floor to the left, keeping the distance between your knees. Come back to the middle, sliding your feet back to the floor and then taking off again, bringing your knees to the right. That's it. Leave it and rest. One of the things that's always intrigued me has been, how do you prepare an athlete to be organized for competition? And the usual stretching and strengthening processes have been shown in many, many different arenas to show that they quite possibly lead to less production in the athletic venue that people are playing in. Decreasing in speed, changing the tone in such a way that the person isn't available, muscle tone, for the real activity, and then diminishing the their capacity to enact the activity. And yet a lesson like this would bring about a preparedness in the whole system to be able to act. It's a little bit too rigorous for a basketball game, but what the heck, it'd be a good way to warm up. Could you imagine this in preparation for playing football? It's in the sense of having the whole of yourself being organized to be able to go in any direction. All right, interlace your fingers above your head. Bring the soles of your feet together. Move your knees and elbows together to the right by bringing your right knee to the elbow, to the right knee to the floor to the right. You're sliding, your feet are free to move into the air. Your feet are not tied to the floor, and bring your right elbow and your right knee together to the right. It means to bring the right knee and the right elbow together to the right. That's it. Slide down and back a few times, bringing your knee and your elbow to the right a few times. And then switch and go to the left side a few times. Slide your feet down to the floor and then come to the left, so that you really think of making it so that you can side bend your left knee and your left elbow coming to the floor on the left. Right knee and right elbow coming to the feet on the right. You can go back and forth. Sit. What prevents you from bringing your knee and your elbow together now? Sit. What prevents you from bringing your knee and your elbow together on the right and on the left? Maybe only your imagination, I don't know. Leave it and rest. Rest. Interlace your fingers above your head. Bring the soles of your feet together. Lift now your arms. Bring your arms forward. Have a sense of how it is that your arms come forward now. Leave your arms on the floor, please, and lift your head a few times. Bring your head forward. Bring your head forward. Notice how it is that you find the support in your ribs to bring your head forward, whether you do it with the musculature in your neck, whether you do something with your ribs to help to make it so that you can press somewhere in your lower ribs, somewhere near your lower back, into the ground to make it so that your head can come forward relative to where it is that you can keep your hands on the floor. Lift once your head, lower it, lift your hands and lower them. Go back and forth a few times of lifting your head and lifting your hands. Raise your head and your hands together. Raise your head and your hands together. Leave your head and your hands on the floor and lift your feet. Notice if your feet come away from the floor in any way more easier than they did before. If you find a different sense of lightness, a different sense of availability than in the beginning, raise your feet and lower them and then lift your head. Lower your feet and then lift your head a few times. And then alternate. You lift your head and lower your feet. Your hands stay on the floor. Hands stay on the floor. Lift your feet. Lower them. Lift your head. Lower it. Lift your feet. Lower it. Lift your head. Lower it. Lift your head and feet. Lift your head and feet. Raise your head and arms. Lower them. Raise your feet and head. Alternate the movement. Head and arms. Head and feet. Head, feet, and arms. Think of bringing them together in the middle. Think of bringing everything together in the middle. Leave it and rest. Cramping, are you yawning? That's very important for you, especially with that foot. To have, well, you've been having to have that aspect of your leg rolled in a position that, as that begins to become activated, will prevent you from that pronation, that inwardly rolling movement that you have, that tend to have with your ankle. And it's fatiguing now because it's not used to being engaged like this. All right, lift your head and your feet and your hands all together to the middle and keep the shape and then begin to rock. Keep the roundness and then begin to rock. Rock on this so that you lift, not right and left, but forward and backwards. So that you're lifting your pelvis, and then as you lower your head, you lift your pelvis, and as you lift your pelvis, you lower your head, lift your head, lower your pelvis, and rock. Until you can rock up to sitting. So you increase the movement so that you can rock up to sitting. Rocking back and rocking up to sitting. So that you can bring your... And rest with your feet and your hands together. Rest with your feet and your hands together. Bring your feet and your hands so that your feet touch your hands and your hands touch your feet. That's it. You can wrap them around your feet if you want to. Very nice. And now from this, roll back a few times. Roll back, holding your feet, and come back to sitting. That's it.
Not holding your feet?
Holding your feet.
Oh, I can't hold them. Okay,
you can hold them, yes. That's it. And in fact, you may find that you can actually stop and rest with your feet on the floor above your head as if your hands were interlaced. You could bring the soles of your feet to come to rest in your hands. But that was a previous lifetime when you were a yogi, right? Just roll a few times. That's it. Roll. That's it. Just roll. You need a little more momentum. Keep going. Oh, such a face. You'll make it, Mark. You'll make it. Huh. That's it. More momentum. You keep it going. Let your feet come up higher and then roll back with more momentum. You'll see.
Whoop.
Boom.
Whoop.
Boom. Boom. Very nice. What an interesting interweaving to end up there. Okay, come and line your back again for a couple of moments. Rest with your arms overhead for a moment and just sense. Interlace your fingers just for a last moment to just check in to see where it is. Bring the soles of your feet together for a moment. Lift your arms now and have a sense of what it's like to lift your arms. Find out how they move through space, the ease with which and where they move through space now. Lift your feet and notice what it's like to bring the availability, the immediacy with which you can lift this much body weight, the connection with yourself. Lift your head, sense what it's like. Your head and your hands and sense what it's like. That's it. Lift your head and your hands and your feet and sense what it's like. Just sense. Sense what it's like. Slide your hands to the right and left a few times above your head. Just have a sense. Just sense what it's like, the availability. Not how far you go, but just the simple availability within your whole system and how it is that the whole of your system adopts itself to the movement now, participates in the movement. Slide your feet to the right and left and sense where you go to now.
All right, so it's still a lot longer than I was saying.
I've only been here for 53 minutes.
I get about 53 minutes before I can left side.
You have been in that habit for many long years. But what we're not interested in is how long it is, but how available it is for action. Slowly, please come roll to your side and come to standing. Without making too many corrections to your clothing and to your posture, find out, just take a moment and just give yourself a moment to just sense into. Because generally when you start shaking yourself, you're trying to shake yourself back to what you've known of yourself in the past. Find out what's there now. Stop that shaking. It's compulsive though, isn't it? Something is, because you're not quite sure of where you are in space. But all you end up doing every time you shake yourself is to go back to what you've known previously to be comfortable. Without giving yourself the opportunity to find out if there's some radical organization that's here that may be of a better organization than what you had before, but the movements tend to move you back neurologically to what historically you came in, what you came in with. And so if you give yourself a few moments just to register, to soak into, and find out what it's like now to make the movement to look right, to look left, to look up, to look down, and to side bend, and sense the availability within your whole system.